हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Paramatma Sundarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 3. Bhagavan is the highest aspect of the Absolute Truth. Page 61. Janmadhyasya yadaha also indicates that the Lord has a form. He must have a form since he is the source of unlimited Shaktis. Right? Means another Shaktis are coming from somewhere, so there must be a place where they're coming from. Which is the source of the Shakti's possessing form, which produces the universe possessing form. So, in other words, you're getting some equality. You can't, when you expand something, you can't expand something that has qualities that the original doesn't have. Right? So, therefore, since that material world has form, that's coming from the Shakti's that have form. So then naturally, it's the point is that the Lord would have form. Right? Because he has form, that's why everything else has form. Because he's conscious, that's why everything else is conscious. Right? Because he exists, they exist. Because he has willpower, they have willpower. Because he tastes ananda, they are looking for that ananda. Right? Yes, since he is accepted as the final cause. Though the Lord has a form, this does not mean he is born from someone else. Since is accepted here, there is one final cause. Otherwise, there would be infinite regression, right? Which is a fault in logic. So that means, as you're going, we don't have a problem. We never worry about infinite regression from anything around us, right? But somehow or another, when we bring up God, then the infinite regression comes in and we have to throw out God, right? But the point is the infinite regression, that's only something in the material world. So there is an original cause, right? And so that original cause that's beyond everything, that's the Supreme Lord, right? Because you're dealing with transcendence. So transcendence is beyond the mundane. So it doesn't have to work on the mundane point. Sa karanam karanadi padipo na chasya kaschin Janita na chadipaha. Brahman is the cause and the Lord of the Lords of causes. He has no cause or ruler over him. Sweta Sutara Upanishad 6.9. Right? So he's the cause of everything. Infinite regression is rejected in the Shrutis. The Lord is proved to be the ultimate cause because he has an intrinsic form which exists eternally beyond Prakriti. Like also when they're dealing with just at best an idea of a limited or Brahman or some absolute like this, the maximum they can get is this aspect of it's just infinite. So therefore the infinite regression then they think is also quite fine. But the point is yes, it just keeps going, but the point is that just keeps going has to come from somewhere. That's what they don't think about is where does that ability for something to keep expanding come from? Right? Yeah. Like it's fun. They have no problem with the Big Bang, which is coming from infinitesimal, but that they can't even, they would not be able to calculate that by their mathematical. How can you take unlimited matter and compress it into an infinitesimal point. And that doesn't make any sense at all. So in other words, that makes less sense than there's an original cause, that there's a person that's the original cause. It means everything else is people. You get people, you see that
Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have humans, their children are humans, right? You have dogs, they have dogs, cats have cats, you know, and before that, like this. So the whole point is that therefore the Lord has form, everything else has form. That makes more sense than the Big Bang. You know, but they're willing to accept that because then they don't have to accept that there's an absolute authority. That way, then whoever at least feels himself to be or is accepted as the biggest scientist, then he thinks he's the greatest. You know, but Brahman's the greatest. His form being proved, the supreme entity is Bhagavan, and no one else, with Vishnu, Narayan, and others as his forms. Right? So Bhagavan, he's the original, and then he has his forms as Vishnu, Narayan, and others. And this way they are him, so they're also Bhagavan, right? In Dana Dharma, it is said, Yatas Sarvani Bhutani Bhavantyadi Yugagame Yasmims Cha Pralayam Yanti Punar Eva Yuga Kshaye. From Vishnu, all living entities arise at the beginning of the Yuga, and in him they merge, I guess, at the end of the Yuga. Vishnu Sahasranama 11. Oh, this is in the introduction of Vishnu Sahasranama. It is also said in the same section, Anirdesya Vapu Sri Man, Vishnu has an indescribable form and is endowed with all beauty. Vishnu Sahasranama 32. Skanda Purana says, Lord Vishnu is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Others who create, such as Brahma, are like wooden puppets since they create only limited portions. Not everything. Vishnu is the supreme creator of everything. Right, so they limited portions, they put together what's already there. It's like the engineer, he'll put together ingredients that are supplied. He doesn't supply the ingredients, right? So Vishnu supplies all the ingredients, then you put it together with things. Sa Brahmana Srijati Sa Rudrena Vilapayati. Narayana creates through Brahma and destroys through Shiva. Mahanarayana Upanishad. Nimitam param ishasya vishvasarga nirodhayo. Hiranyagarbhas sarvascha kalasya rupinas tattava. Even Brahma and Shiva act only as your instruments in cosmic creation and annihilation, which are ultimately done by your formless aspect as time. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.71.8. So through his formless aspect, he's empowering all these different personalities. So Brahma and Shiva is the main. So that means what to speak of Indra, Vayu, Agni, like this. They are the instrument, nimita matram, of your tava shakti called time, kalasya, which has no form, arupinaha. Mahavishnu, an expansion of the Lord of Vaikuntha, is time, swabhava, effect, and cause. Mahatattva, the five gross elements, false ego, the three gunas, the senses, the universal form, the totality of jivas, the individual jivas as non-moving and moving beings. All of these are related to the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42. So, yeah. There is a Lord of all moving and non-moving beings superior to me, Yamaraj, whose portions create, maintain, and destroy this universe, in whom the universe exists like cloth with interwoven threads, and by whom all people are controlled like oxen tied by the nose. Right? The oxen, they're walking all day, so they're going around the pole. You know, or they have the ring through the nose, you have a rope, wherever you walk, you take that. They're not complaining. They're walking. They're seeing different things. You know, there's variety. A few things to munch on here and there. Yeah, so through all these things, then Mahavishnu, expansion of the Lord is time. So time, Swabhava, effect, and cause, Mahatattva, the five gross elements, false ego, the three gunas, the senses, the universal form, the totality of the jivas, means just the jivas themselves and that how they're affected by all these things. And then the individual jivas and their forms as moving and non-moving living entities. So that's all woven together like fabric. The Lord pervades everything like that. And in this way, you have the whole basis of the creation. Here also, the conclusion is that the Bhagavan has various forms. Shastaryoni vat tat tu samanvaya and tu samanvaya. After the Supreme, Param has been described with secondary characteristics, Tathasta Lakshana. Those qualities are proved in two sutras, Shastaryoni Tvat and Tattu Samanvayat, Brahma Sutra 1, 1, 3, and 4. The meaning of the first sutra is as follows. Why is Brahman the cause of creation and destruction of the universe? Because scripture is the source of knowledge, Shastaryoni Tvat. Scripture testifies, Yato va imani bhutani, from the Lord arise all these beings, Saitu Upanishad 3.1.1. Logic is not the proof as it is in other philosophies, right? In other philosophies, logic establishes everything. Not that we can't use logic, but it's not logic that establishes things. It's the Shastra that establishes things, right? And then we apply our logic to what the Shastra says so that we can actually... So we get an understanding of what we're looking at. But if we simply apply logic and then how much we put together, then it's limited to our ability to perceive. And since the Lord being unlimited and his energies and all that, how they work and all that are so manifold, that how are we going to say that we, by my logic, I understood everything? Right? If that was there, why is it that the scientists haven't understood everything already? You know, they think, oh, we're on the brink. We're just about to figure it out. Yes, yes, you know, it's going to be me who figures it out and gets the Nobel Prize. And then somebody brooks out something in some experiment, and then we start seeing that that same discipline starts splitting into different groups because some new things are there. You know what I'm saying? You just had the physics before. Then you had string theory. Then there was then I have dark matter. And then you all these different things, they just start splitting up. And so now they're not any closer than they were before, but they'll always say, no, we're almost right there. So that's the whole point is it's unlimited, so they could go on forever. So this idea is through logic, you'll understand everything. That's not going to happen. You have to start with Shastra. Then based on Shastra, now you apply your intellect. Then you can see how this applies into the various situations that I'm in. Right? So you have to start with Shabda. Like that, then it has meaning. Otherwise, like that. Tarka Pratishthanat, Brahma Sutra 2.1.22 indicates that Brahman cannot be proved by senses or the mind, because Brahman is beyond the senses and mind. Right? You can't prove something with something that with an instrument that something else is beyond. Right? It's just like I have a carrot. Okay, and by this carrot, I'm going to prove the unified theory. No, that theory is beyond the carrot. But no, they insist, because I have a carrot. I can do everything with a carrot. See, I can point in different directions with a carrot. See, there's wind coming. See, I can point at the wind with my carrot. See, my carrot does everything, right? You know, somebody's calling and yelling at me. I can point the carrot at them. See, they're over there, like this. So it's childish. However, the Buddhist philosophy, which does not promote Brahman, will be refuted by logic alone in this second chapter of Brahma Sutra. Right. So it does not promote Brahman. It's just nothingness. So through logic, you can defeat it. So that's the thing, is these philosophies that are based on logic, you can defeat them by logic. But then, as Lord Chaitanya pointed out, some logician will come along that's even better, and he'll defeat that. And he used to do that for fun, right? As a child, you go down to the cot, when they all take their bath at noon. And then they would always, you know, because they're all logicians and grammarians and all that. So then they all start arguments just for fun, right? And so he'll defeat someone in an argument. Then he'll go back and defeat his own philosophy that he defeated them with. So like that, you can just keep going. That logic is insubstantial. Is illustrated in the following way. The Lord is not the doer or creator, since the Lord has no goal, just as a liberated soul has no goal in action. The jiva is the creator of the world, since the jiva causes effects, just as a person creates a pot. Right? So to use logic on why all this is going on, because the point is the Lord, you know, is not the creator, the doer, because he doesn't have anything to gain from it. But it doesn't mean that he's not the basis of it all, and all these things are there. The jiva, you can say, is the creator of the world. It doesn't mean that he is the basis of it. But the part means in the way of, you know, the ingredients, how they work, the modes, the time, everything like that. But that, you know, they need a pot, so then they make a pot. Right? So like that, that's why sometimes it says that jiva creates the world. Like Krishna in the Gita mentions that they create the world. Because it's how it's unfolding now, it's because the jivas want it that way. They have to work within the rules. But, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. There is no time when different opinions did not exist. The present time is no different, since it belongs to time. Because of this, one philosophy may infer a Lord by logic, and this may be defeated by different contrary philosophy. Thus, scripture alone is the proof that there is a supreme Lord, a supreme controller known as Parabrahman. Right? Because otherwise, you see, is we've established the Lord's a controller, and then we're showing how the living is the creator, and then we're showing how the jiva is the creator. So by logic, you can't establish it. Is Shastra establishes. So they establish where the Lord is the creator and where the jiva is. Otherwise, then you have those people saying, Lord does everything and I'm just a puppet, you know, like Dhritarashtra. Or you have the Mayavadi where, you know, I am God, I make the sun rise, I make the moon rise, and like, you know, right? Yeah. The scriptures testify that the Lord is an ocean of various, unlimited, faultless, noble qualities, the opposite of negative qualities, mixed with omniscience and satya-sankalpa, different from all things seen by all other proofs. Right? Because all other proofs are working with the and things that have fault, and many times we're using qualities that aren't so great. Right? And, you know, we can't see everything. And yes.
In this connection, it is always stated that only the Vedantic, Vaishnava Vedantic, they actually see the Vedas or the scriptures as it is and give the actual position. And then I was studying in my course that the Nyayas and the Vaisheshikas, they refer knowledge as like, no, the validity and invalidity of knowledge are because of some external
you guys are still moving. He's not moving.
You're still there, Maharaj. Just how the Anitai Prabhu is for us, and his internet's not good.
I see. Does he know that?
Probably does now.
Ah, yes, his picture went off. Okay. Maybe try saying that again.
Other philosophies, other theistic philosophies, they accept the scriptures, but they say knowledge, the validity and invalidity is based on, like, no, some external or internal conditions. So basically, they say scriptures have to be interpreted to understand. That's why then they become false.
So then the you would see is the all these philosophies then would be inherently admitting that, you know, indirectly, that only the Vaishnava Vedanta is the actual philosophy, because that doesn't need interpretation. So in other words, the Vaishnava hermeneutics is as it is. And then all the other philosophy are as we would like them to be. You know, so this as it is thing, you see, it comes up a lot. All the acharyas talk about it. So it's not just the Prabhupada says it. So the other acharyas bring the point up also. That's very interesting. So then yes. They take it that their acharya, his logic is faultless.
Yes.
Okay.
For them, testimony is, though Vedas are the testimony, the ultimate testimony is what they say, finally.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's basically how everybody works, no? And the material platform. Oh, well, at least this time you froze with a smile, right? Okay. Okay. The Lord has no trace of faults related to objects known by other proofs. Thus it is concluded that the Lord has, by his nature, unlimited eternal forms. Now the meaning of the second sutra, Brahma Sutra 114, is given. Why is Brahman proved by scriptures? Tat tu samanvaya. The word tu indicates a destruction of doubt. Brahman is proved by the scriptures, tat, because this is established by both positive and negative statements of exclusion. But it means you give the positive and then where he's gone. He doesn't have any negative qualities. So that's the exclusion. Okay, so two indicates a destruction of doubt. And kintu means you have a doubt. You're nourishing the doubt. The positive statements are these. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Brahman is existence, knowledge, and bliss. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.3. Anando brahma. Brahma is bliss. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.16.1. Evam eva dvitiyam brahma. Brahman is one without a second. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. Tat satyam sa atma. The Lord is eternal existence. Chandogya Upanishad 6.8.7. Sat eva somyedam agra asit. O gentle one, only the Lord existed before creation. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. Eko ha vai narayana asit. Only Narayana existed. Mundaka Upanishad 1.1. So it starts off with that as far. Tad aikshata bahusham prajayeya. The Lord glanced, thinking, may I become many, may I create progeny. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. This here, may I become many, it's also its expansions, you know, as Mahavishnu and everyone else. Tasmad va etasmad atma akasha sambhutaha. From the Lord rose ether. From the Lord ether arose. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.3. Tat tejo srijata. The Lord's power created the universe.
Yatova imani bhutani jayante. From the Lord all beings arose. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1.1. Purushohavai narayano kamayata. Ata narayanat ajo jayate. Yata parja sarvani bhutani. Lord Narayana desired. From Narayana, Brahma was born. From him, all the living beings were born. Maha Narayana Upanishad. Narayanam param brahma tatvam narayana param. Ritam satyam param brahma purusham krishna pingalam. Narayana is the supreme Brahman. Narayana is the supreme principle. He is truth and existence. He is the Purusha, golden and black. Mahanarayana Upanishad 11.4. Interesting. He is golden and black. So then meaning him and his energy, or him as him and Lord Chaitanya. Statements of exclusion are as follows. Katam asata sad jayeta. So that was all the positive statements, right? This is what he does. Now we'll give the negative statements to us. Katam asata sajayeta. How can the sat arise from the asat? Right? How can reality arise from something that's not there? Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.2. Ko yevan yad ka pranayad yad esha akasha anando nasyat. Who could breathe if the Lord were not bliss? Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7. Eko va vai narayana asin na brahma na cha shankaraha. First, only Narayana exists. Brahma and Shiva did not exist. Mahanarayana Upanishad 1.1. Correlation, samanvaya, with other statements is also explained in such sutras as Anandamaya Vyasada. The Anandamaya Purusha refers to the Lord, not the Jiva, because of repetition of the word Brahman at the beginning and end of the passage. Brahma Sutra 1.1.12. Realizing that the Lord has a form of the highest bliss, there's no lack of a goal. One should aim to achieve that highest blissful form, right? So there's, because he's the highest bliss, therefore everyone's doing anything to become happy. Therefore, everyone has an ultimate goal. There's no shortage of that because he's unlimited. That means unlimited living entities can approach the Anandamaya, the Asad, you know? And so therefore then, yes, and they can all therefore that attaining him, you know, as a person, then they can all become happy. The meaning of the two sutras just explained in the first verse of Bhagavatam by the words anvayad itaratas charteshu, that the Lord is the form from whom creation of the universe takes place, is perceived in the meaning of the various Vedic statements, arteshu, by positive anvayat and negative itarata, indication. He is the highest goal, having a form of the highest bliss, which is proved by positive and negative statements in Shruti. That form previously established is proved by Shruti statements, just quoted like eko havai narayana asi. Only Narayana existed in the beginning. Ikshaterna Shabdam, Brahma Sutra 115, is explained by the word abhigya in the Bhagavatam verse. The meaning of the sutra is this. This stated in the Chandogya Upanishad, sat eva somyedam agra asit evam eva dvitiyam brahma. O gentle one, only one Brahman existed previously. Tad aikshata bahusham prajayaya. He desired, let me be many, may I create progeny. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. Prakriti is proposed as the cause of the universe, but this is denied with ikshaterna shabdam. Pradhan is not proved by scriptural statement, a shabdam to be the cause of the universe.
It is only inferred. Why is it not proved? Because of the verse si, iksha, indicating an omniscient person, which is related to the word sat in the scriptures. This refers to sat tad aikshata, the Lord glance, Chandogya Upanishad. It's not possible for a Prakriti to glance. Elsewhere as well, creation involves glancing. Sa aikshata lokan nu sirija, sirija. The Lord glanced and created the planets. Kaitareya Upanishad 1.1.1-2. Glancing here includes the Lord's omniscience. The Lord contemplates unlimited creations. Thus, Bhagavatam says he's avidya, omniscient. So he's seeing, but it means he sees it happens, but he sees everything. So seeing everything, then where specifically he sees, then things happen there. And what happens there then pervades that whole creation. So that's why if he sees and he creates, you know, like the aspect of he desires to see. So therefore, then, you know, then we see is that the eyes form, fire, and the ability of seeing, sight, is all created. And he's all omniscient, and all-knowing and all-pervading. So that goes everywhere. And by that, and he sees everything everywhere, and that seeing is everywhere. So that all happens together. Our material nature can't do that. It's unconscious matter. Quote. So is this the doubt? Since it is said that Brahman is one single entity without a second, having no parts or senses, it is not possible that he glances. And oh, that's the doubt.
Yes, no, it's doubt.
Okay. He is Surat. He exists. He exists, Rajate, with his own form, Swa. Natasya, Karyam Karanam Chavidyate. He has no body and senses. Sweta Suprakara Upanishad 3.19. At the same time, it is said, Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyatcha. He has intrinsic knowledge, strength, and action. This means he has a form capable of glancing as his very nature, one with him. It will also be shown later that the Lord breathes. That is confirmed here. So the difficulty comes down is that here, on the material platform, there's a difference between the living entity and their senses. So therefore, then you say, you know, he's one without a second, has no parts or senses. But the point is he doesn't have like us. We have our existence. And then there's parts. There's the body. There's the subtle body, mind, intelligence. The senses are there. They're separate. So in that way, then you say you're having them. But he's Surat, it's independent. It is the senses are him. His form is him. So he's just one entity. Right? And that's why it said then he can see, you know, with any part of his body or eat with any part of his body. Because it's him. You know, like that. So then according to his pastimes, then he applies himself. Okay. Now another meaning of Shastriyonitva, Brahma Sutra 113, is explained. How is the so those ones were explained because they all flow in a nice pattern. So now another approach will begin. How is the Lord the creator and destroyer of the universe? Why is the creator not Prakriti, as stated in other tantras, such as Shankya words? This is not accepted because of the statements of accepted scripture in the form of the Vedas, Shastra Yonitva. Right? So you may say, okay, it comes from Shastra, but then in the Kapila Shastra, you know, I mean the Shankya Shastras, then they have some different, but here it says no, in the form of the Vedas. That's why it has to go back to the Veda. You know? You may have Shastra, but if they're not based on the Veda and pursuance of the Veda, then they don't have any validity.
Evam va are asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etad yad rigvedo yajurvedaha samavedo ta vangirasa itihasa puranam vidya upanishadas sloka sutran upa sutrani vyakhyanani.
The scriptures are the breathing of the Supreme Lord. The scriptures consist of the Rig, Yajur, Sama, Atharva, the Itihasas, Puranas, Upanishads, other branches of knowledge, verses, sutras, secondary sutras, and commentaries. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 2, 4, 10. So that's been defined on what it's there. So they all go back, right? So he can't have something that contradicts this. Here it is said that Brahman is the source of scriptures containing infinite knowledge of various subjects not available to all other Brahmanas. Thus, Brahman is stated to be the chief omniscient being. Without such omniscience, no one can create and destroy all the universes. Right? Because otherwise, you go to destroy something. How do you destroy it if you're not aware of the whole thing? The universe is so great. How are you sure that the universe is destroyed? Unless you're omniscient, that you can see the whole thing, and that you're in control of the whole thing, and something so great, unless you had that power of Satya Sankalpa that you've decided that this is happening, and so it does.
Brahman alone, who is scripture personified, has this quality, and thus Brahman alone is the cause of the universe, not Prakriti or Jiva. This is further described in the next phase, Tene Brahma Hrida Adikavaye. The Vedas, Brahma, manifested Tene in Brahma Adikavaye through Brahma's Antakarana, not by words. The word Brahma, meaning the greatest, also indicates the Lord who has all knowledge. Manifesting in the heart indicates that since the Lord has all Shaktis, he acts as Antaryami of all beings. The word Adikavaye, unto Brahma, indicates that the Lord is the source of all scriptures, since he alone is the source of instructions to Brahma. Right? So Brahma then spoke the Vedas. And so, but he heard that from the Lord. That means that the Lord is the source of the Vedas. Shruti says, he first created Brahma and gave the Vedas to him. I surrender to the Lord, the shelter of those desiring liberation, who inspires Jiva's intelligence. Sweta Sartara Upanishad 6.18. Liberated Jiva is also not the cause of the universe. Even devotees like Sesha, Surayaha, are bewildered about Brahman in the form of the Vedas, yat for yatra. All this indicates Bhagavan, the first form, with lotus navel from which Brahma appears, who empowers Brahma and who breathes out the Vedas during his sleep. May the Lord, the best of the sages, be pleased with me. Inspired by him at the beginning of the Kalpa, Saraswati, whose aim is to reveal Krishna, appeared from the mouth of Brahma and revealed proper memory to carry out creation in his heart. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.22. There is another meaning to Tat Tu Samanvayat, Brahma Sutra 114. The reason for Brahma being the source of scripture is explained by the sutra. Because he knows the final sham, meaning anvaya, of the Vedas, he is ascertained to be the source of the scriptures, right? Because he knows the conclusion. You may know knowledge, but if you don't know what it's for, then you can't be that you really not say you really understand the knowledge, right?
So because he knows he's the source. The jiva does not know the meaning and pradhan is unconscious. Sabeti vishvam nahi tasya deta. The Lord knows the universe and no one knows him. Sreta Sattara Upanishad 3.9. Expressing the opposite of the Lord, knowing the meaning of the Vedas, it is stated that all jivas lack knowledge of the Vedas. Muvyanti yatsurayaha. The devotees in Iva Sesha are bewildered about Shabda Brahman. So, Prakriti is unconscious, so they can't be the source of the Vedas. Jivas have to learn the Vedas to actually have any knowledge, so they can't be the source of the Vedas. But the Lord, he knows all the conclusions. That means he's the source of the Vedas. The Lord himself says, Kim virate, kim achashte, kim anudya vikalpaye, ityasya hridayam loke, nanyo mad veda kaschana. What do the Vedas instruct as action? What is the final meaning of the Vedas? What alternatives do the Vedas raise? No one except me or my dear devotee knows the intended meaning of the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.42. In the above verse, the Vedas are stated to be directly the Lord. Because he being the Veda, he can state the Veda, because the Veda is simply the statement of who he is, right? And so that's why it says he follows the Veda, because the Vedas is coming from him. The Veda is explaining him. So it says that God does this and God does that, you know. So for us in pastime, it says he follows the Veda, but the point is he states the Veda. That is what he does, and then he just acts naturally as himself. Corresponding to this, there's another meaning of Ikshaterna Shabdam, Brahma Sutra 115, indicated in the verse by Abhigya. Here is the meaning of the sutra. Shruti says, Ashabdham, Asparsham, Arupam, Avyayam. Brahma is inexpressible by sounds, cannot be touched, has no form and is indestructible. Katha Upanishad 1.3.15. How then can Brahman be the source of scriptures describing him? But the Brahman spoken of here is not the Brahman devoid of expression by sound. Why? Because scriptures describe Brahman with a phrase describing his glancing, ikshate, in tat aikshata bahusham vajayaya. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. The verb aikshata, he glanced, occurs with bahusham, may have become many. The words are used to describe Brahman. The words bahusham, let me become many, indicate that Brahman is skillful at contemplating abhigya. Brahman is the total of all shaktis, including the shakti of sound. However, Brahman is not material, since Brahman is he who agitates Prakriti. And since Brahman exists before Prakriti manifests, the Shaktis arise from this Swarup. This is expressed in the Bhagavatam verse by the word Swarat. The Lord is independent. So if he's independent, means he can do whatever he likes. How? By his own power. We can only do those things that are within our control, or which others are allowing us to do because of their ability to control. Right? There's no point someone else saying, yeah, you can do that, if they have no power to do that. You know, if you say, wow, wouldn't it be so cool to be able to fly? And your friend says, okay, you can fly, but you can't fly. You can't produce it, neither can your friend produce it. So the Lord is Surat because he is the source of the Shaktis. So the Shaktis come from the Surup, they're not different from him. So they, yeah. Here, as previously, it must be concluded that Brahman has a form endowed with qualities, as mentioned above. The author of Brahma Sutra says,
antastad dharmo pareshat. Paramatma is the person in the eye and the sun. Because the teachings describe the Lord's qualities, the Brahma Sutra 1120. So Paramatma, it means he is what makes the sun shine. He is what makes the eye able to perceive form in that based on the sun. Right? So he is the sense. He is the sense object. He is the time. He is the modes. He is all these things. So that's the... Should be understood that the Lord's nature of being expressed by words or having form means that he is not expressed by material words and does not have material form. Yeah. So you can't explain him by a material understanding, only by a spiritual. That one is the one is received from the Shastra through the Parampara. First verse as the four chapters of Brahma Sutra. Wow. So showing how the first verse of Bhagavatam and the first verse of the Brahma Sutras are saying the same thing. And also then the last, the last verse of Brahma Sutras and the last verse of Bhagavatam. Then he shows how these first, then was it? That the Brahma Janmadhyasya yataha shastra yonit tat tattu samanvaya ikshatarna shabda, that they're all coming from the Lord. They're all in that first verse. Right? And showing how each word is how it's all said. Now he's expressing how all four chapters of Brahma Sutra, that means all 16 padas, are contained in the first verse. In Bhagavatam's first verse, the meaning of Brahma Sutra's four chapters is explained. Anvayat itarata, from positive and negative statements, indicates the first chapter, which correlates the meanings of the statements of the Upanishads, right? Because they show what is the Lord, what's not the Lord, right? Because they're trying to give you what is that. You have no idea, so I have to tell you what it is, but I also have to tell you what it's not. Because you might come up with all kinds of weird things. So that's what the Upanishads are explaining. That's the first chapter. Muhyanti yat surayaha, wise men are bewildered, indicates the second chapter, which deals with defeating opposing philosophies, right? So the first one is just establishing what all the Upanishads are saying, right? So that'll be there. Then the second chapter is then explaining based on these Upanishads and that, then how other philosophers come up with different ideas, and each one is different from the other. Each one argues with the other. Each one tries to establish theirs as supreme through logic from the other. And so they're bewildered. Dhimahi, we should meditate, indicates the third chapter, which deals with sadhana. Satyam param, the highest real form, indicates the fourth chapter, which deals with results. So then we see here we have the interesting sambandhavide and prayojana, but we see here is the first as we're establishing shastra. Right? So then we establish shastra as the praman. So that's the first section. Then the second section is going to be your interpretation of that. So it's defeating all other schools that are coming up with something other than the proper understanding of the jiva, the supreme Lord, the material energy, and their relationship with each other. Right? Because all the other philosophies are simply misunderstanding that. Like that. Then the third one, dhimahi, then it's about service to the Lord. And they're going to come up with some other things like that. And the fourth is that then attaining the Lord. He's the highest goal. Yeah, satyam param, the highest real form. So that means that he's the form of all other forms. That means anything, all bliss comes from him. All knowledge comes from him. All existence comes from him. And then that means that he, in his perfection, then displaying those with those who have that understanding, then they are able to take part in those unlimited eternal pastimes. Okay. Does that make sense? Right. Yes.
So first chapter also explains, like it's explaining positive and negative statements, means it explains like what actually Shastras mean with each statement and which falls in the positive and which falls in the negative category. So actually you understand what are the important, what are the primary and what are the secondary statements in that sense.
Yes, yes. What I'm meaning is that you're still, as Lord Chaitanya gave the Dasa Mool, that you have Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan, and the first thing you establish is the authority of the scriptures and what they're saying. Then he gets into the Prameyas of Sambandha, you know, of Chidachit, Ishwaras, you know, like that. Then you have Sadhana, then you have Sadhya.
Yes, sir. Right?
You know, you process the goal. So the chapters of Vedanta Sutra are doing the same thing. The first one is the Pramana, because you have to establish that, because if you're going to discuss philosophy, you have to base it on Shabda. While these others, even they're using Shabda, their conclusion is not Shabda, even though it starts with that. So you have to put in a big amount just to establish that point, because there's that. Then they have all their deviations on Chidachidishwara. Right, and once you straighten that out, then you don't have as much difficulty with sadhana and sadhya. Right?
Yes,
so, yeah, but it's very interesting that it's all the same thing. So when it gets down to the essence, then Vedanta Sutra follows that form.
Also, then it makes more sense that, like, first, whenever you are expressing anything, first you say your point. And then discuss the main, fallacies in people's understanding of it. Basically, you give reasons why it is like this and why it's not something else. Then you discuss, other people's misunderstandings of it. And once that is clear, then you go and then establish that.
Yes, yes. You're always going to have the theory and the conclusion. And then in between, you're going to be giving your reasonings and reconciliations, dealing with opposition and all those things like that. And then you're going to, you know, show how that comes into the conclusion. So yes. So that's really far out. For chapters of Brahma Sutra. First verse as Gayatri. The meaning of Gayatri is also illustrated in the first verse of Bhagavatam. Janmadhyasyayataha indicates the pranava, since it describes the Lord endowed with shaktis for creating the universe. This is expressed in the commentary on Gayatri found in the Agni Purana. Chaj Jyotir Bhagavan Vishnur Jagaj Janmani Karanam. The light of the universe, Bhargas, is Lord Vishnu, the cause of the creation and destruction of the universe. Yatra Tri Sargo Mrisha indicates the three Vyaharatis, Purbhu Vaswa, since both phrases refer to the three worlds, which are identical to the Lord. Surat, existing or shining by itself, indicates Savitu, the supreme revealing light. Tene Brahma Hrida indicates a prayer to inspire the intellect. Dhiryo Nah Prachodayata, may the Lord by his mercy inspire our intelligence to meditate on him. Thus it is said, Gayatra Cha Sama Rambha. The Bhagavatam begins with the Gayatri, since the first verse represents all the words of Gayatri. Moreover, the Lord is established as the embodiment of light in Antastat Dharmo Padesha. Paramatma is the person in the eye and the sun, because the teachings describe the Lord's qualities, Brahma Sutra 1120. The Upanishadic text referenced by the sutra indicates that we should meditate on the Lord, who is an unlimited form possessing light. Yes. The Agni Purana says, after performing Sandhya rituals, one should chant and meditate on Gayatri. Right? It means the Sandhya rituals, they're going to be, you know, the sprinkling oneself, the purification, sprinkling oneself with water, calling the Gayatri, all these different things. Sandhya Bandana. I think the whole thing with chanting Gayatri takes you about 10 minutes. If you're just chanting, how much Gayatri we're chanting. So it takes like 10 minutes. And so then, so the Sandhya rituals means then one should chant and meditate on Gayatri. It's called Gayatri, singing, because it glorifies ritual virtues. It glorifies the Lord in the form of light, and it glorifies the pranas. Right, the rituals itself, right? Then the Lord, you know, in the form of light, you know, that you're trying to obtain. So it's beyond, and it glorifies the pranas. So they're going to have the ritual, the endeavor, and the Lord. So you're again dealing with all three: sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. Right. The Gayatri is called Savitri because it reveals the Lord. Savitri. This is called Saraswati because it is the Lord expressed in words. Bhargas refers to the Supreme, so Savitri because it reveals the Lord. Okay, so that's the important aspect of what it does. It's for revealing. Bhargas refers to the Supreme Brahman, since Bhargas means light or energy. Bharga means to shine, brajate in many Vedic verses. Varenyam means the best among all lights. The supreme abode, or that which is always chosen by persons desiring material or spiritual benefit. This is because the verb vrin means to choose. Here is one supreme eternal light, the Lord, who is pure intelligence, devoid of waking, sleep, and dreaming. We should meditate on that supreme light known as I for liberation. That light is Lord Vishnu, the cause of the creation and the destruction of the universe. Some claim that this light refers to Shiva. Others say it is Shakti. Some say it is the sun, and some say it is Agni. The performers of sacrifice say that it is all the devatas. Vishnu, endowed with the form of Agni, is glorified as Brahman in the Vedas. Brahman, or light, is also called the supreme abode of Vishnu, who is also known as Deva or Savitri. Thus, the meaning is, we should hold in the mind, Jimahi, that supreme Varenyam, abode, Pargo, of Vishnu, Savitu, Devasya. Bhargas, the Lord, Yah, should inspire the intelligence of all living beings, Na, Ti, Diyah, Prachodiyah. May Vishnu, who also has the forms of the sun and Agni, inspire the intelligence of all enjoyers of the karmas, both visible and invisible. So that's the meaning of the guide. Ishvara prerito gachet swargam va swabram eva va ishavasyam idam sarvam mahad adi jagat darhi. Directed by the Lord, the jiva will go to heaven or hell. This whole universe, made of mahatattva and other elements, is pervaded by the Lord. Svargad jai kri date devo yoham sa purusha prabhu janena purusho yam cha drashtavya sura mandale. The Lord, who is known as Deva, Hamsa, Purusha, and Prabhu, who plays in Swarga and other places, should be seen in the sun by meditation. Satyam Sadashivam Brahma Vishnur Yat Paramam Padam Devasya Savitur Devo Varenyam Iti Tur Yakam. The supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, or Savita, which is also called Satyam, Sadashiva and Brahma, is most excellent, Varenyam. Right? So the supreme abode of Vishnu, it's also called Satyam, Sadashiva, and Brahman. Because Sadashiva, Shiva means auspicious. So Sadashiva means, that pure auspiciousness. So his supreme abode is going to, it's eternal. It's the pure auspiciousness, and it is transcendental. Is most excellent, Varenyam, being the spiritual place. Yosav aditya purushav sosav aham anuttamam jananam shubha karmadin pravartayati yas sada. He who is the person in the sun and who always inspires the pious acts of humanity is the incomparable self, aham. Yatra di kritya gayatrim varnyate dharma vishtara ritrasura vadokshitam yad bhagavatam uchate. Tad Bhagavatam Uchate. That Purana beginning with Gayatri, in which Dharma and the killing of Ritrasura are described, is called Bhagavatam, Agni Purana, as the killing of Ritrasura is not described in any of the other Puranas. So many of the stories are common, you know, the things of creation, the churning of the milk ocean, you know, Hiranyakashipu and the Shingadev and Matsya and all these, they're common, but this Ritrasura, that's only told in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because places you just have this demon comes up and Indra goes to fight and it looks like the demon's going to win. And then somehow or another, foolishly, he tells Indra to, while you're using your club, you should use your thunderbolt. You know, it's new for him, so he's not quite confident of it. And then with that, he kills him. It's not going to make any sense. So only in Bhagavatam can it be explained, because he's a pure devotee. And so in remembering the Lord, therefore he comes, and because he's the most powerful, no one can defeat him. So only the potency of the Lord can defeat him. And so then it comes down to, Ritrasura has faith in the words of the Lord, Indra doesn't. So we see, therefore, Ritrasura is a more advanced devotee than Indra. But when inspired by Ritrasura to have that faith and follow the directions of the Lord, then Indra is successful. But he's successful in that he gets to stay king of Indra and stay in the material world, while Ritrasura goes back to Godhead. Right, so now you really learn, understand, and appreciate it. That's why it's only in Bhagavatam. Other Puranas don't explain.
Maharaj.
Yes.
Yesterday also, Mahaprabhu is telling the same verses that how Srimad Bhagavatam has the essence of the commentary on Brahma Sutras, and there he is mentioning how the first verse represents, it has the Gayatri Mantra, and then Satyam Param represents Sambandha, and Dhimahi represents the Sadhana and Prayojana.
Yes. So, yes, exactly. Very good, very good. Yeah, that could be used as a footnote, huh? That's a good point. You know, where it gives that one where you mentioned that part there, you know, wherever it fits in nicely. Lord Chaitanya is giving that aspect also. The words Bhargas, Brahma, Brahman, Para, Vishnu all mean Bhagavan. Wherever they are used, they mean Bhagavan. So the point is wherever they're used in the Shastras, their meaning, when it says Bhargas, people take it as the sun. It means because all Shaktis, all life comes from the sun. It means Krishna. Brahman means the Krishna. They take it as Brahma Jyoti, but it means that is an aspect of him. He's doing it. It may be done through it as Paramatma, as feature of Brahman. But that para means he's the supreme of all things. So everything goes back. He's the top. He's the end. Vishnu, then they all mean Bhagavan. Wherever they are used, they mean Bhagavan. Where worship with identity is indicated, aham graho pashana, mentioned above, with so savaham. Uttam, anuttamam. It indicates only similarity, not complete identity. That by that the person is qualified to worship. Look, only similarity means I am spirit, he's the supreme spirit, and I as a servant then serve the supreme soul. Right? That's then what the aham grahopashana is for. That's why you see some of the Vaishnavas, then they use the mudras and all that. I mean, say the mantras and do them on mudras and the Karanyas and Anganyas and these things. But we don't use them. As Gaudiyas, we don't use them for ourselves. We use them for the deity. When we install the deities, then we're using all those different, we're using the Anganyas on the deity. So So the point is there's a similarity, like the drop of water and the ocean. They have qualities are similar, but the volume is not the same. So because they have the similar qualities, then the position for pastimes and interaction is there.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Those rituals match to their philosophy. Like in our philosophy, we can see simultaneously one and different. So one need not be at that, come to that stage where you I identify myself as, similar to the Lord, and then I can worship. Because the whole philosophy is simultaneously we always see that oneness and difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oneness and difference. Well, yeah, because Vishishta Dray, Vishuddha Dray, they're looking at that oneness aspect.
Both are not seen at once.
Yeah. So they're bona fide systems, but it's just that we don't use because they're meant for cultivating majesty.
Yes, Maharaj.
So you're seeing that oneness, but you have to that oneness would be that in that majesty we will be serving. Mm-hmm. So it's like it would just be bringing yourself to the transcendental position. So we do that through the meditation. That's the main thing for us. Like that, you purify the paraphernalia, purify yourself, see yourself as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, So for us, that's the main kind of aspect. So we don't need to do that. So if for the others, it's bona fide. But then we should understand is that he says, "Oh, they do all this; they're more technical." He says, "No, we have no problem with these. We just don't use them because our philosophy is that the oneness is there. That's why you can interact with the Lord. But that he means we have the qualification, but the difference is there. That, therefore, you can interact with him. You as a person, him as a person." Well, the other, of course, they're persons, but they're looking more at the majesty he's God we're serving. Well, here it's about you as a personality and he is a personality. As personalities, you're interacting. Well, and the other is you're a person, he's a person, but it's not so much as personalities you're interacting. It's you're interacting because he's God and you're a servant. Right? Slightly different flavor. So then for that, then these mantras work. They become empowered by these mantras and they can do like that. But for us, it's no. We as an individual, we serving the Lord in our particular capacity. Does that make sense? So flavor. So it's the Braj flavor is unique because it goes beyond, this awe and reverence.
The meditation on the Dham accomplishes this. Like even in our meditation, first is always after chanting the name, then we glorify the Dham, Vrindavan Dham.
It means it's going to be all those aspects. It's going to be the Bhuta Shuddhi, where you see Naham Bipro Nachan.
Yes.
That. And then you're going to have at the end after you, and then you're going to identify yourself as a servant, the spiritual master, serving the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, and this way then serving Radha and Krishna, and then that jnana there on the Dham, on Radha and Krishna and everything that brings it to the position. Does that make sense? So that's going to accomplish.
Yes, sir.
And the paraphernalia is getting put in appropriate place for service, being sprinkled with water for service, some are being worshipped for service, and then your argya is going to be established as the Lord in that water. It's not samanya argya like we're using on ourselves, where it's just a mantra, but it's actually the deities put in the water for worshiping the deity. Like that. So you see, as both are being done, yourself and the paraphernalia. Before that, of course, when you open the deities in the morning, you're purifying the place. And so then the satshutis, all the different six kinds of purification are going to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
For us, it's always in the context of that serving. You know, it means it's all service. The Vaikuntha is going to be service. That's all there is. But the point is the difference between the sweetness and the majesty then takes it in a slightly different, the mood, the flavor is slightly different.
Yes, Maharaj. So what kind of vibha was that invoke also matter, as we were discussing before on the Uddipanas and Alambanas?
Yes. Because they're trying to invoke that aspect of, you know, the majesty, the Lord is great, I am his servant and all that. So that Alambana aspect. And then you're going to have the thing, his opulence, his mercy to the devotees, his smiling because he's the most wonderful. You know, so they also have that aspect of sweetness. But it's an aspect of his greatness, that he's so great and he's so sweet. So who wouldn't want to surrender to such a Lord? You know, you have that Madhuram Astaka or whatever it is. Like that. That's Vaikuntha Wallas. You know, so the sweetness is there. It's sweetness in the context of majesty. While for in Braj, there's majesty in the context of sweetness. The whole thing is sweetness, but the opulence there is greater than Vaikuntha. Right? It said that, you know, one grain of dust, you know, because the Dhamma's Chintamani, one grain of dust is the source of all the opulence of Vaikuntha. You know, so just what's there is so much more opulent, but it has that relaxed aspect than that, you know. So it had, just like, let's say you're having a formal occasion, so everyone's dressed very, very formally, and everybody deals formally and sits formally, and everything's formal. But let's say you're having also a very, sophisticated, cultured event, but it has more of a relaxed environment. So everyone's dressed nice, but it's not a formal dress. And so then you can talk more freely, deal more freely, move around. It's more about the interaction. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. It's not that you both don't have, but it's just that one, you know, it's just like they have a nice meal, but in the relax, you know, oh, this is that nice. You talk about that. And the other one is this and that. And then that plate's taken away. And then the next one's brought, and then this and that. And then someone picks up their little fork and hits the crystal glass, and then stands up to make some, you know, toast or announcement or some appreciation. So dinner takes 4 hours, literally. But you're only eating as much stuff as you would eat in a normal 20 minutes, half an hour with talking and all that. And so, you know, and then there'll be some talking afterwards, and, you know, and then talking while you go and wash, and, you know, all those kinds of things. So it's just, it has much more opportunity. Well, the other one is because God's so great, you know, you just want to keep everything so formal. And so all the elements are there. The 16 items are there in both. Just one is in, you know, you could say it's Vaikuntha is dressed casual. I mean, Vrindavan is dressed casual. Vaikuntha is in black tie. You know, does that make sense? Or even more, you could say Vaikuntha is white tie. And then Dwarka will be black tie, you know, and go back and forth between that has the casual and black tie. But as soon as someone mentions something, then it turns into black tie. Does that make sense?
That is why they have these four kinds of liberation: Salokya, Sarokya, Sarishti, and Samipya. So whereas the Vaishnavas, we don't aspire for that liberation.
Then you have a person in your reflection. Before, you had the guys working on the building next door. No? Don't worry about it. You can ask Nittai. He'll tell you. Yes. And you see, is that it was explained the other day. I think you explained that. Our time's up.
Haldaran Nittai explained about there's a progression of Salokya. You're on this, the one you're on the same planet. Then you have the same. What's next? Then the opulence. Same form, Sarupya. And then which is the opulence?
Sarishti.
Sarishti. Sarishti. And then Samipya means you're an associate. So then so there, as you see, is that the Vaikuntha lines, they're generally looking more at Swarupya as their main goal. And so for us, though, it's beyond the, what do you call it, Samipya, the associate. Samipya. That means you're automatically associate. So the other things are included. So you see Vrindavan is more of that end, while the others are more of this end. Like that. But for us, it's beyond that. For them, they want to get liberation, but that's the point, is liberation, then that's a situation, then you're going to serve Krishna. You're on the same planet, you'll serve Krishna. You have the same form, you'll serve Krishna. So you have the same opulence as you serve Krishna. Your associate, you'll serve Krishna.
Prabhupada uses this nice example, like when a king comes and then asks one person, what do you want to from me? He says, I just want to be your friend. Then if he has to be his friend, then king has to take him on his chariot, take with him, make him live in his palace, give all facilities. So if you only desire to serve him and have a relationship with him, all others you automatically get.
Yeah, the others just come naturally. That's a very nice point. Very nice. They want those, so therefore then he has to, that has to be arranged formally. That's why it's formal. Very nice. Very nice. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry, Srila Prabhupada.